fighting for America.
Unless we get on our high horse and think this is unique to some other place. Remember that during the Crusades and the Inquisition, people committed terrible deeds in the name of Christ.
Fighting for Idaho.
Who decides when a law-abiding citizen is trained enough to defend themselves? And I don't think any of us, whether that's the legislators, the sheriffs, other citizens, have the right to tell someone when they are qualified to defend their life.
Fighting for you.
The pipeline is the way that they carry the product from the wells.
I know what a pipeline is, but okay.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the Morning. Thank you all for joining us. Speaking of joining us, Tom Fenton joining us from Judicial Watch. Always good to have him on. Tom, good morning.
Kevin, good morning. Thanks for having me.
You know, thank you for all the great work that y'all do in a nonpartisan way. If it weren't for the great work that you and others at Judicial Watch have done over the years, we wouldn't know really what's going on with our government, because Democrats or Republicans, Tom, they have they claim transparency, but that's not what they practice.
No, it's hard to get the government to tell you what it's up to, and we've had to sue over the administration over 200 times just to get access to information that they're supposed to give us under law. Most of the time, we just sue to get an answer. We're not even necessarily fighting over documents that are withheld and battling over the particular aspects of secrecy. They're supposed to respond within a month or so, and usually we wait a few months and just have to sue just to get them to tell us what they have or what they're not giving us.
Well, and Tom, that's why it's always important to support Judicial Watch, judicialwatch.org. I've been a fan of yours and the group for many, many years, because it's not easy in the world that we live in. If it weren't for watchdogs like yourselves that are leading the way, that have led to actually leading Congress down the path, as you've said, this stuff wouldn't be covered.
It wouldn't, and Congress has, even if they were diligent, I don't think they're as diligent as they should be, but they do issue subpoenas. I know members on the Hill of both parties are interested to find out what's going on, but subpoenas are often ignored or they're negotiable in terms of the response or the timing, and delays are interminable. And in one case, they had to put the attorney general in contempt just to get compliance, which is still not really forthcoming. But Judicial Watch is able to go to court under the Freedom of Information Act, which is all about getting documents. And the administration can't do the games it is able to do with Congress. And as a result, we get documents that Congress is aghast, not because of the fact that we got them, but the fact that we got them and they're unable to. And it really is screwed up, but that's up to Congress to fix. In the meantime, we're leading them, and we're leading the media, which is asleep at the wheel or is too often a lapdog for the Obama administration and big government in general. When you got a bunch of liberals in your newspaper or media operation, they don't think to ask the type of questions that skeptics of big government and Judicial Watch think to ask.
Well, and Tom, if you could you expand on the danger in that to our republic, that we have a media that is not a vanguard of truth in holding government accountability? What are the consequences of that?
Well, the consequences are we don't have accountable government. We don't know what the government's up to. And so when we have a media that isn't really reporting the truth or interested in much of the detail about what government is up to, when we have a Congress that comes to town, and in the case of the last Congress, literally wrote a check for $1 trillion+ with its eyes closed, and then the agencies, as I described, aren't complying with the law, and then you have President Obama thinking that he can amend the law without having to go through the legislative requirements that the Constitution has, like a dictator can. You know, you may vote, and you may have campaigns and elections, but that is an accountable government. If Washington operates in a way that no one knows what anyone's doing and no one's accountable to any regular legal system, let alone the people, and then the media, not all the media, as you know, the media is much bigger than it used to be in a good way, there's a real problem of self-government. It's more than about disagreeing with the president's policies and getting tired of Congress bickering. It's about whether or not we know and have any control as a voter and a citizen over what Washington is doing. And I would suggest that through Judicial Watch, you have more control than you would otherwise, because it's that Freedom of Information Act law that allows us to kind of bring government back to earth and under control, because Congress ain't doing it, and the media too often is failing and is would rather just issue a rewrite a press release from the administration than do any serious investigative reporting.
Judicial Watch President Tom Fenton with us, author of the New York Times bestseller, The Corruption Chronicles, and executive producer of the documentary District of Corruption here at 580 KIDO. Let's take a look at some of the Freedom of Information Act requests that Judicial Watch has filed here, Tom. One dealing with Idaho's own Bo Bergdahl.
Yes. What is going on with him? Why hasn't the Justice Department, the Defense Department proceeded and figured out whether to charge him with desertion? Obviously, they've had the facts essentially since he, by all accounts, did desert his post. But on top of that, the administration released five top Taliban leader terrorists in exchange for this guy. And that was prohibited by law. And obviously, it put at risk our national security, because at least one of them is, calling his buddies again in the Taliban. We want to know what went on there. We're asking specifically about any deals made with Qatar, the regime in the Middle East that is our ally, but with allies like that, who needs enemies? And also the concern is that the law requiring that the Defense Department, specifically the Secretary of Defense, in that case Senator Hagel, determine that there'd be no threat to national security if these people are released. And we want to know where's that determination? Tell us how you came up with that. And they've refused to give us much, if anything. And we now have four lawsuits trying to get to the heart of this real, I speak for many in the military. I'm not a veteran, but following the story closely, this treachery that occurred with the release of these terrorists for Bo Bergdahl. And the fact that they still haven't concluded whether to charge him with desertion is a real indication that you may have some more politicians than military folks who ought to be concerned more about military order and discipline, and frankly, the safety and vindicating those who died searching for him, which reports are at least six people died looking for him, and other operations throughout that part of Afghanistan ground to a halt, and the Taliban really got a leg up because of the immediate efforts of the military to try to find where he was, and they're still trying to figure out whether he deserted or not. How many people do you need to question to figure that out? How big was his platoon? How many people were in his chain of command? The corruption in the Obama administration. Everyone likes to think, well, President Obama, we don't like what he does. Well, when you have the president not willing to follow the law, the attorney general not willing to follow the law, that affects other agencies. And I can tell you, it affects the Pentagon and people that you Americans typically rely on, which are the senior leaders of our military. They can play politics as much as a U.S. senator can.
Well, and Tom Fenton with us, Judicial Watch, judicialwatch.org, Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. It would be nice to know what the thinking went into the negotiating with the Bergdahl release and these five detainees that, as you said, one of them is trying to get the band back together.
Yeah, they are calling Taliban associates in Afghanistan. And the administration, I think the administration's analysis says, well, they still are threats to national security, but we can mitigate the threat. Is that reassuring to you? It's not reassuring to me. It's the type of thing that ought to have people really upset. And I think between this and the release of the Gitmo prisoners, that there's the mass jailbreak that Obama's leading on behalf of Gitmo terrorists, sending them back home or to places where they're likely to engage in terrorism again. Plus, you kind of see this even in the culture with the overwhelming positive reaction to the American Sniper movie. I think there's a real grass fire about this issue and about breaking faith with our military, breaking faith with the American people. You know, the president is commander in chief. In the least, you know, fight over taxes, but in the least, we shouldn't be fighting over or having to worry that whether or not he's protecting the homeland. And when he's releasing terrorists, he is not only not protecting the homeland, he's putting it in danger. And that I think people are much more sensitive to and are alert for these days than I think most of Washington is. And I don't know what your view is from the feedback you get from your listeners and your community in Idaho, but people are mighty sensitive to it. That's the feeling I'm getting.
Tom, two more questions for you before we get to Benghazi. You and Senator Crapo have been working diligently. You've come out here and met with Senator Crapo concerning, you know, just how much information that these big companies get when we're talking about consuming, you know, consumer stuff. You would think that we'd have a right to privacy, but you in the past, along with Senator Crapo, have been raising awareness that, you know, a lot of our information isn't private.
Well, that's true, and this, there's a new regulator, thanks to Obama, called the Consumer Financial Protection Board, and I think that's the name of it. And I sometimes get lost in always watching acronyms. And this big agency, Elizabeth Warren, who's the populist-slash-socialist senator from Massachusetts, that was her idea, so that gives you an idea what they're into. They think in order to help consumers, they need every fact that they can get about consumers. So this government agency, without your permission, and arguably without authorization under law, is going to credit agencies and credit card bureaus and credit card agencies and credit bureaus and obtaining credit card transaction data and credit report data. And I don't know if any of your listeners have examined their credit reports, but it is the keys to their figuring out what they're up to financially and all sorts of other secrets about their personal private finances. And this data is being swept up in mass quantities by the millions by this government agency just so they can better regulate us. And if you think your private data is secure there, well, then I have a credit card to Target I can give to you. This is a real risk to our privacy. It's arguably a violation of our privacy and a violation of law. And, you know, again, the leftist media likes to focus on the NSA, and there is a lot to focus on there where they're taking data about phone calls that people think they should not be. But in terms of, like, the real impact on your security, your privacy, the government stealing and taking financial data without justification about your credit card transactions. Someone in the government has access to your credit card transactions, and they tell us, by the way, it's been anonymized. No one can figure out, tie the transactions to someone personally. And we all know that's bunk, and you don't need to be a computer expert to know that's bunk. But this is what's happening in Washington, and, you know, compare and contrast that to reports you see from the big three networks about what's happening in Washington. You know, they pretend it's normal here, and in my view, it's a rule of law crisis that really is putting our republic at risk in many fundamental ways.
Tom, final thoughts about Benghazi. Are we ever really going to learn the truth? You guys are out there at Judicial Watch, judicialwatch.org, to make sure that we get to the truth eventually.
Well, I think because of our work, and there have been some good reporting on this by Fox News and others, that we do know much of the truth about Benghazi, but the key aspects of it, unbelievably, we don't know. Like how the ambassador died, where he died, who killed him, what was the reason for the attack, what was behind it, what were the operations of the United States there, why were no military assets of significance deployed to try to rescue not only those who were under attack, but those who could come under attack. Why the president and who was behind and who decided to start the campaign of lies, blaming this on a spontaneous demonstration and an internet video that no one saw, when in fact they had drones overhead showing what was happening in real time. They saw no demonstration. We saw, we have the document showing that there was an attack, not a demonstration. And we know the White House, not Intel officials, were behind the false talking points that Susan Rice, of course Hillary Clinton was echoing these issues, saying that it was a demonstration and not a Al-Qaeda attack. And we're in court with multiple lawsuits trying to get access to this information. We got, again, access to Congress couldn't. Our information actually caused Speaker Boehner to support finally a select committee to look into Benghazi, a super committee. But they just had a hearing, Kevin, a few weeks ago, I think it was the week before last, and we talked about it, where the hearing was about why the State Department and the administration is not cooperating with their committee. This is more of the same, and we have to think of ways as citizens, and I think Congress needs to be more creative and more direct, to put it charitably, in holding this administration to account. You know, when you're spending money in violation of the law, like they're doing with Obamacare, with amnesty, and in the case of Bergdahl, they released people in absolute violation of the law, there are criminal consequences to that, in the least. And it certainly ought to constitute firing offenses. And when you obstruct a congressional investigation, the documents we received about Benghazi had not been turned over to Congress, and the document tied the White House to this this big lie campaign that I talked about. That's obstruction of Congress. People get prosecuted for things like that. And Congress is, you know, debating whether or not to keep money away from a government agency when not the agency that's its issue, it's the people running it acting outside the law that's at issue. And I think one of the problems that folks have, Congress has in dealing with this issue, is that they misunderstand the problem, and that it's the fact there are people who aren't obeying the law in the administration. And if that's the case, legislation and funding fights really don't address the issue.
Tom, we appreciate it. Keep up the fight, sir.
Hey, Kevin, thanks for letting me go on a bit. And people can learn more about our work and join our movement, join our cause at judicialwatch.org.
Have a good day.
Thank you, sir.
Our great friend Tom Fitton joining us from Judicial Watch. Benghazi is not over. Despite the spin from the press, laws were broken, lives lost. Shouldn't we know what happened? Shouldn't we be holding these folks accountable? 580-5436.
The Treasure Valley's exclusive home for Kevin Miller. KIDOAM.com. 580 KIDO. Idaho's place to talk.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. By the way, your chance to win a family four-pack for the production of Into the Woods coming up very soon. I'll give you the cue to call between now and 8 o'clock. When you hear me say, hey, call in now, you can win a family four-pack for Into the Woods, which, by the way, it's a musical fantasy involving, well, all your favorite characters from, you know, the storybooks, like Jack and the Beanstalk, Cinderella, Rapunzel, Little Red Riding Hood, and more. By the way, that's from the Musical Theater of Idaho, and we thank them for saying, hey, you want to give some tickets away to your listeners. So that'll be coming up again, the cue to call, and be caller 10 at 580-5436. 580-KIDO. Coming up, we'll be talking to our friend Greg Pruitt between now and 8 o'clock. If you check out the front page of the paper, the bill would okay concealed carry without permit, as we've been talking about. And we're very honored to have Greg Pruitt be a part of this program. And it shows you that, yes, you can make a difference here in Idaho and America. We're going to do everything we can to support Mr. Pruitt and the Idaho Second Amendment Alliance. We go to James in Star with Kevin Miller at 580-KIDO. It's been a while, Jimmy.
Yeah, that's okay, LL.
LL?
LL, that's the code for Linda Lover.
Oh.
Hey, it sounds like you and I got the same little message going around in the air, huh?
Imitation is the greatest form of flattery.
Oh, man, there's nothing more I hate than being sick, but I had to call in, Kevin. I mean, I can't, I want to say I can't believe it, but I totally believe it. When you were playing the clips, the sound bites of our current president and how he was comparing ISIS, I just got mad, really mad, really quick. And, you know, the one thing I wanted to say, if I didn't get to say anything else, is this enough? Has he revealed enough? I mean, how much more can you say besides just saying it?
Well, and we always like you to wake up mad, so for people that missed it, let's take a listen.
Humanity's been grappling with these questions throughout human history. And lest we get on our high horse and think this is unique to some other place, remember that during the Crusades and the Inquisition, people committed terrible deeds in the name of Christ.
Or my personal favorite, the American version.
In our home country, slavery and Jim Crow all too often was justified in the name of Christ.
Oh,
is he the president of the United States? I would expect that from somebody from the Middle East. I'd expect that from ISIS.
Kevin, please, people, anybody that's listening, you got to realize we're in a bad spot. And this guy's a bad dude. And he does not want anything else but this country turned upside down. And, you know, it's just like the Jordanian president, right? Look at what those guys are doing, man. Their guys are taking care of business, Kevin. And I know if you were running the country, that's how you would do it. I know if I was running the country, that's how I would do it. And it's so sad that we've been neutered. We're totally neutered. And thanks for doing what you do, buddy. I can't talk much more, but you keep up the good work.
God bless, Jim. Thank you. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And by the way, today a very special day in American history. Today's the day of President Reagan's birth. President Reagan, I guess well over 100, if he were still alive today. By the way, you know, I always give my mom a hard time. Because I said, you know, you should have held on for, less than 10 more hours, and I could have shared the birthday of Ronald Reagan instead of Sarah Evans and Hank Aaron. Nothing wrong with those people, but who would you rather be affiliated with? Sarah Evans, at one time very cosmetically appealing. Hank Aaron, the all-time hitter, at least for a little while. Or the Gipper. Well, for me, it was always the Gipper. Coming up, our friend Greg Pruitt will join us. A huge deal today. His concealed carry bill, his constitutional carry bill, is getting a hearing, as we first told you yesterday. Now the paper catching up with us. Greg Pruitt quoted in the paper from the Associated Press. You have other people giving him a hard time about it. We will talk to Greg Pruitt coming up from the Idaho Second Amendment Alliance. And he's really a role model, an example for us about it, getting things done, founding this group, and making it happen. Grassroots activism at its best. That's coming up between now and 8 o'clock. Plus, when I give you the, hey, call in now, be caller 10 for those tickets for the production of the Musical Theater of Idaho's latest production, Into the Woods. We go now to Simon Owen, Fox News Radio, with the very latest concerning the U.S., Russia, and the Ukraine. Simon, good morning.
Morning, Kevin.
Boy, it's just nonstop. First, you know, we have the ISIS situation. Now, all of a sudden, we have the possibility of America ratcheting up at least what they're going to give to the folks and to the Ukraine.
Yes, and there seems to be a split here between the way we hear that the U.S. is leaning, which is to start sending weapons to the Ukrainian army, give it a better chance to take on the rebels who are using very sophisticated Russian equipment from everything we hear, while Europe, on the other hand, is more focused on continuing to push down the avenue of peace talks. And so far in this conflict, the U.S. and Europe have been quite keen to work in concert. Well, that may be about to change if the U.S. goes down the avenue of handing over weapons. So what we have now is a situation where the White House is reportedly considering taking that step. And today we've got the French president and the German chancellor, François Hollande and Angela Merkel, flying to Moscow after being in Ukraine last night to present some kind of peace plan to Vladimir Putin, the Russian president. It's a pretty dramatic intervention to get two political leaders of two of the really big voices in Europe heading to Moscow for a summit with Putin. What they come up with, though, is very much up for debate, because the talk here from every side that we hear is that this is more likely to be a step perhaps in the right direction, but not a huge breakthrough. And really at this stage, they're looking for huge breakthroughs.
Apparently they're going to hand deliver their proposal to Putin. That almost never happens these days.
Well, yeah, they've got other ways of putting it there. But I mean, Angela Merkel, I don't think, has been to Moscow since the Ukraine crisis started. So it is quite a big deal to have these, as I say, these two leaders going there to try and, not so much knock some heads together, but just to get some progress on this. We think that this plan is going to involve freezing the Ukrainian conflict along the lines that it's at the moment, and leaving those areas in the control of these pro-Russian separatists and pulling out Russian weapons, pulling out Russian troops. Now, if that's acceptable to Ukraine, it's a big if, then we wait to see if Russia's ready to go along with it as well. But, you know, this is not a plan that is going to turn around and go, guess what, our plan was to make everything peaceful and he's going to accept it. It's going to be a fairly messy solution either way, I would have thought.
Simon, what's the danger here from... and the perspective of the Europeans, where they've split with the Americans on this, if the Obama administration gives these folks more deadlier weapons, what are their concerns?
Well, the concern is that it would only exacerbate the fighting and only make things more intense, because you'd have a situation where you've basically got Russian weapons versus American weapons, and clearly both of those militaries are among the strongest in the world. And so their concern is that could, you know, just lead to the fighting getting even worse. At the same time, Ukraine's president says that Russia is just stepping up its supplying of the rebels with better and better gear. And if it carries on like this, then Ukraine doesn't stand a chance of defending them, and they will keep rampaging across the country, taking more and more territory. And that certainly is the way it's going at the moment. The rebels certainly have the upper hand, and it does seem, according to NATO at least, that they have been getting more and more sophisticated stuff over the border.
Simon, to be continued. We appreciate it, sir.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you. Simon Owen joining us from London here at 580 KIDO. And here we have the situation going on with ISIS and the administration, and yet the Ukraine thing could be blowing up as we speak. I think Pat Buchanan wrote a piece about a possible war over the Ukraine. Phone numbers here, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Two things nationally that we're talking about. Number one, the president's comments comparing the Christian Crusades to ISIS. Yes, he actually did that.
Humanity's been grappling with these questions throughout human history. And lest we get on our high horse and think this is unique to some other place, remember that during the Crusades and the Inquisition, people committed terrible deeds in the name of Christ.
Yes, there we have it. And by the way, we're not talking about worldwide Christianity. America is a special sinner, right, Mr. President?
In our home country, slavery and Jim Crow all too often was justified in the name of Christ.
Right, right. Specifically, where, Mr. President? Where? 7:46, Kevin Miller in the morning coming up. We will share with you Brian Williams, according to Page Six now in New York, the NBC anchor, should be fired, according to Tom Brokaw, the man who was his predecessor. By the way, it's unfortunate. I was watching the other day on Channel 7 where they, you know, it's a feed from NBC where they're doing a promo, and I believe this is the 10th year of Brian Williams hosting the show and talking about the voice that you can trust. And here we have Brian Williams. I guess he embellished about Katrina as well, according to the American Thinker. So we'll talk about trust and values in our media. Do you expect that? Your reaction to the president's comparing ISIS to the Crusades and Greg Pruitt, all before 8 o'clock here at 580 KIDO. It is 747.
Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And Kevin Miller in the morning here, 580-KIDO. Phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO.
You talk about carrying firearms without a permit. So that would mean that if you carried, if this passed and you could carry a concealed weapon, you do not have to have any type of training on the use of the firearm at all. Is that correct?
Mr. Pruitt, Mr. Chairman and Representative Smith, thank you for the question. You will find that most gun owners in the state of Idaho are very responsible, especially those who carry. Technically, yes, they would not have to go through any sort of formal training. The real response to that is, who decides when a law-abiding citizen is trained enough to defend themselves?
There we have it, Greg Pruitt from yesterday. Greg Pruitt today joins us now from the Idaho Second Amendment Alliance. You've gotten a lot of attention with this bill, and it's been a long time coming. Good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. And yeah, you know, we actually didn't expect it at this point to really come out, given that it was only a print hearing, but it may have been the abortion bill beforehand with all the media that was there to cover that we ended up getting caught up in the mix. And, well, the cat's out of the bag, so.
Well, the cat's out of the bag, number one. Number two, you've already got Sheriff Rainey speaking out against this. Are you surprised?
No, he's told me before. We knew going in that he was opposed. He told me and about a dozen other conservative leaders in a meeting that he opposed constitutional carry because he needs to be able to take guns away from people who he thinks is going to commit a crime. And so we tried to clarify with him, you know, have they committed a crime? And he said no, but I know they're going to. And so we started talking about Minority Report and a few other things and why he was wrong. So.
Where do we go from here?
From here, they'll go to the floor to do a couple House readings, and we'll get a bill number assigned. So at some point, you'll have House bill and then a number. And then from there, we've got the print hearing, Kevin, and that's when we need people to show up and support constitutional carry. We've got to have people at that hearing speaking out in favor of it, or, you know, the legislators are going to kill it.
Greg, you and I have talked before about this is your mission this year. Can you give us a little background why you've devoted all your time to this issue?
Yeah, we've been working on it for several years now. We've seen it happening in other states that maybe not as gun-friendly as Idaho, and we're just baffled that it hasn't happened here already. And so we've been pushing for it for several years. You know, we firmly believe in the shall not be infringed portion of the Second Amendment, and it still to this day boggles my mind how many gun owners will stand right in front of us talking about this and say, look, I support the Second Amendment, but. And there's always a big but after that. And I'm going, well, you either believe in the shall not be infringed or you don't. And, you know, look, we support training. We want people to go through as much training as they possibly can and be responsible with their firearms. And we believe most Idahoans are who carry their firearms. However, you cannot mandate, especially government-mandated training, onto people before they can defend their lives. And so I don't understand how, you know, there's a number of gun owners who say they support the Second Amendment, but at the same time they support government-mandated training. It just doesn't make sense.
Were Representative Smith's comments the most shocking yesterday?
Not really. You know, Kevin, we've been doing this for so long. You know, none of the questions that they had for me really threw me off guard. The funny thing is, the questions I got were all from the Democrats, and they weren't really challenging, but they had no idea what constitutional carry was. And I brought up in that meeting, I said, well, we gave every single one of you a pamphlet explaining what this was. And, you know, odds are they took that pamphlet and threw it in the trash, and that's why they had no idea. Because one of the other questions was, what other states are doing this? And so I had to explain which other states are doing it. My challenge to the legislators, my challenge to even the detractors who are pro-gun, go to those five states. Go find me, you know, a large increase in negligent incidents where somebody's shooting themselves, cleaning their weapon, or other instances like that. Go to those five states and find where crime has increased. In fact, you'll find that crime has actually decreased in those states as a result of constitutional carry.
Greg, tell me about your personal journey. This is your career right now, right?
Yeah, I'm a retired wounded veteran, and And once I became retired last October, you know, I was able to start working on this a little bit more full time. I am a volunteer. I don't get paid for anything that I do. And that's why we rely heavily on the support of you and our members and our supporters across the state. But it's something I wanted to create a group where we can look out for Idaho citizens all the way down to the city and county level, to the school board level, and make sure that our Second Amendment rights are being protected here. And that's why we started the group, and we wanted to hold the legislators accountable. They all come out in campaign season and say they're very pro-gun and they're for the Second Amendment, and we kind of want to put them to the test on that.
Greg Pruitt, the Idaho Second Amendment Alliance on Facebook, on the web. If people want to get involved because they believe that our Second Amendment rights are in jeopardy, what can they do?
They can go to idahosaa.org. The link to our Facebook page will be on there. They can join up and become a member. You know, having paying members will eventually have big sway when it comes to these types of bills. And we've got to get some people in there and supporting us and get more help on the grassroots efforts. And then we got that rally coming up, Kevin, on February 21st at 3:30 at the Center on the Grove. And we've got to show up in mass and show these legislators that we're serious about constitutional carry in Idaho.
Greg Pruitt, don't be a stranger. We'd love to have you back. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, brother.
All right, Greg Pruitt with us, Idaho Second Amendment Alliance. A great tribute to grassroots hard work here in the state of Idaho. 7:59, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. The job numbers are out. What does it mean for your 401k, your IRA? Heck, forget that for your employment status. Find out now, 580 KIDO.